let me talk a little bit about what appears on the face of it to be this sudden rise into stardom. And of course, it wasn't a sudden rise into stardom, but because you started to be singing major roles in your early to mid-20s, yes, that was a little unusual. Can you tell us a little bit about the background to that, what your career was, what your training was, and when the break started to come and when it became obvious that you were going to have a career a lot younger than many opera singers?
Yeah, of course. I started my studies in Georgia, Tbilisi, in Conservatory of Tbilisi. I was studying 6 years within a mezzo-soprano, actually. She was working in the Tbilisi Opera Theater at the time, and she was an amazing teacher, an amazing singer. She gave me a lot. Her name was Manana Egadze. Then in 2007, I decided to go in Milan, and they took me at La Scala Academy for 2 years. I graduated in La Scala Academy, I start there my career, you know, about 2009, Carmen at La Scala, when Barenboim, after the audition, decides to choose me for principal for the title role of Carmen for the opening of the season.
Which is kind of a pinch me moment. Most 24, 25-year-olds don't get La Scala as their first big.
Yeah. I was there for audition for Mercedes role, not for Carmen. Yes, and I was singing, but you know, the Mercedes has really small part, and I was singing Carmen's arias because of that, because it's nothing to sing for Mercedes. And he decided, after he heard my voice, and Jonas Kaufmann also actually was there in the theater in that moment, and he was listening my audition. And I remember he decided to listen all the arias from the opera, and I sang everything from Habanera to the last scene, to the duet by myself on the stage, final duet by myself. And then he just called me in his room, and he told me to start to prepare Carmen and to prepare for the opening.
It's a dream, though, because it's kind of the dream role that every young singer wants. It's,
yes,
if you have it in your voice to sing that role, it's the glamour role. It's almost like getting a part in a Steven Spielberg movie on your first outing. And then, of course, you've kind of made it a signature role. You've sung it since then in Verona.
Yeah.
And you're going to be singing it in the Met next season.
Yes, I already did in the Met 3 times since 2011 when I did my debut here. And yeah, I'm going to sing it again, and I'm so, so happy for that.
Tell us about who she is to you, because a lot of people have their own versions of who or what this woman is. What is she to you? Because clearly you've got to have a great empathy and a great sympathy with her in order to be able to sing her with such conviction and such beauty.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, actually, she is an amazing woman for me, because she's a strong woman. She's an example of modern woman. Today, we have a lot of that kind of women in the world, strong, smart. And I think I'm like her some way, not in everything, of course, but she's handled her life by herself. She's doing everything by herself, and she's just trying to enjoy her living, enjoy man, enjoy everything she have around her, you know. And I admire Carmen's. I admire Prosper Merimes Carmen, not only the Bizet's Carmen. And I think she is an amazing woman.
And of course, your perspective on her as, again, not to labor the point, as a 20-something-year-old is going to be very different from the performances that you would have experienced as you were training, as you were growing up.
Yes.
What do you think she says to people of your generation that maybe she didn't say to people who are now in their 30s, 40s, 50s, etc.?
Yes, of course. You know, that's because she's in a modern role. She cannot fit in the 30s or 40s, but she can just be at the perfect time, in a perfect place today with us, because I think she's saying a lot about freedom. She's saying a lot about women's freedom and about the strongness that we need to have in modern world, you know, because it's not easy, because everything is on us, everything is difficult, and women are alone sometimes, you know, and they need to do and they have to do everything by themselves. And that's because I think she is an example for modern woman, for women who needs to be strong and needs to be smart enough.
Do you think she'll change as you yourself grow?
Probably yes, of course. It's logical, it's normal that she will change for sure. I don't know in which direction, but she will change probably. Maybe she will be less aggressive with years. Or maybe she will be more aggressive. I don't know. We'll see.
that's the joy of the role, I guess. You get to find out.
Yes.
Let's turn to your current role then in Prince Igor.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Concha Kavanovna's...
Yes.
Who is she then? Who is she and how does she speak to you?
She is actually the interesting persona. She is... another really strong woman, but the difference with Carmen, define the difference between these two personas. I mean, she is strong, but she is so in love. She's in love with one man only, and she can do anything for him. She wants to do anything for him. She can just go with him, leave her country, her father, everything, her people, for him to be just with him. And I think that's another thing, because you have to admire that kind of role. And vocally is so beautiful. It's just perfect for mezzo-soprano's voice. And it's unfortunately a small role, but it's pretty interesting. In this small bars, you have to sing at the first act and then in the third act. And I think she says a lot about whole story of the opera, and she explains a lot. Maybe not in the version of Dmitry Chernyakov where she's just a imagination, just a dream of Prince Igor, but she in the whole story of Prince Igor, she says a lot about Vladimir's, Prince Igor's sons, and her relationship, and about their love, and about the relationship, why Vladimir then left. He's leaving her because of father. And I think it's a little complicated story, but she is another strong and interesting woman for me.
And it's another one of these great Russian, yes, not fairy tales exactly, but one of these great complex Russian love stories. Are there any other kind? Do they speak to you, or does it make any difference where you're from to fully get a handle on this story?
Not for me, you know, because first of all, I was born during the Soviet Union, and I understand really well the history. I understand. I speak perfectly Russian, and that's because I understand a lot of, you know, nuances and small things in the music, in a text, and everything. And I can understand, of course, Concha Kavanovna, because she is actually from south of Russia, from the part of Ukraine, mm-hmm, and we are pretty close. Well,
Georgia is not a million miles away, right?
Yes, exactly. And it's about mountains. It's about culture that we have a lot of in common, you know. And I can understand her when she's singing, for example, in third act. I'm a child of my father. I'm a child of my country. I'm proud of. I'm proud of this, and I'm proud to be a part of this. This country, but I'm leaving everything for you, because of love. You know, in Georgian culture, we have the same morality. Let's say like that,
right.
And I can understand really well everything.
And then musically, the actual melodies, are they close? I mean, because as you say, at one point,
yes,
Georgia was part of the Soviet Union, and I'm guessing, I mean, it became liberated when you were seven or eight, and you understand the history. But melodically, does that speak to the type of music that you heard growing up, say?
Yes, of course. And you know, there is a lot of Georgian folklore music in the beginning of the opera. It's a lot of it's the style of making this music. Actually, it's a lot of Georgian music, and it's not unusual for Russian composers because they did a lot of works when Georgian music was involved or Georgian folklore music was involved. If you can just listen to Rimsky-Korsakov or Rachmaninoff, you can find a lot of Georgian music inside their music, because there were in Georgia, there was writing music in Georgia sometimes, and that's because there is a lot of, you know, influence of Georgian music and Russian music.
And is that the big melodic, the very catchy aspect to it, the really hummable, singable part, or what is it that we should be looking for if we're trying to find the Georgian influences?
You can find it also in Konchakovna's Cavatina, of course, and you can find it also in the beginning of the Polovsian act. Yes, in that music, the girl is singing and chorus is singing. You can find a lot of Georgian style music in that music.
So looking forward, I'm not to put too fine upon it, you haven't reached your 30th birthday yet, have you?
No, not yet.
When is your birthday?
My birthday is 28th of June and I will be 30.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, well, yes.
These are the good old days, you know?
Oh, yes, I know.
30 is the new 15.
Oh, my God. I just don't want to do... I just don't want to be 30. I want to be always 29. Well, it's possible.
The only advantage to it, I guess, is that the voice is the one muscle in the body that improves with age.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Do you even feel that now at the stage of your career, that the voice is expanding even as you go into your 30s?
You know, actually, from 2009, when I did Carmen at La Scala, my voice has changed a lot, and it became bigger and darker. And I guess it will be bigger and darker, bigger and bigger again and again with years. We'll see.
Which is great, right?
Oh, it's not bad. It's not easy to handle, but and to sing, you know, when you have a heavy, big and dark voice, it's not easy to do a lot of different repertoire. But I'm trying hard. I'm trying to have a technique and had lessons and do a lot of in study, of course, all the time. And we'll see. I don't know. I hope everything will be okay.
I'm sure it will. But a lot of the time, singers have sort of almost 5-year plans that they project out, even in the way they get booked, that sometimes it's as much as 5 years out. But in terms of the career, if we were to give you a crystal ball or a magic wand, where would you like to be in 5 years? Professionally, because does it get, I mean, okay, there are bigger roles at the Met, but does it get much bigger or better than this?
Of course. The thing about my voice type is that after you're going to sing Verdi and Wagner, and growing up in that way, it means that you start to sing Verdi at some point, and then you decide to start to sing Wagner at some point. I think it's too early for Wagner because I'm really too young, because of my age, and not because of voice. Maybe because voice is already there, but still, if I sing Wagner now, what I'm gonna sing in 10 years, you know, exactly. And that's because I start to sing Verdi actually last year. I did my debut in Amneris in Detroit Opera House. And I'm gonna sing Amneris for now. I have my debut in Italy of Amneris. It's gonna be in Arena di Verona this summer, and I start a little bit to sing Verdi, not too difficult operas or parts like Eboli and Don Carlos, but yes, it's really hard role to do. I will wait for that. I will study a lot with my teacher, vocal teacher, a lot before doing that. But for Wagner, I will wait until at least 2019, because I had an agreement with Maestro Barenboim after Carmen's premiere in 2009 that we will do Wagner for my first time together in 2019.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.